This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll do everything they can to save you money. They will do everything they can to always make sure you're fully insured. They are the pros' pros at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to bring in Neil Coulong. Neil, first of all, welcome, my friend. It's always a pleasure to have you back.
And as always, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And so we talk Justin Fields. So your thoughts on this deal and what it means moving forward?
You know, what I keep going back to is the Tomlinism, nameless gray faces. And I understand this is essentially impossible, but just for the sake of symbolic argument, if you were to apply that to Justin Fields, take out the pedigree, take out the name, look at his career stats. You can even take a look at where he was drafted. Look at what he's done up to this point. Then look at the market that we saw for backup quarterbacks being traded, literally materialized before this trade. It wasn't an accident, okay? Sam Howell goes for a bevy of picks on either side that eventually kind of netted a little bit for the Commanders. Not a ton, but a backup goes to Seattle. The Steelers trade Kenny Pickett. What they got back was 20 spots in the draft and two throwaway picks next year. The deal for Fields is similarly structured to that, with the possibility that he might start. You know, Chicago kind of buying insurance, we can get a little bit more. But Pittsburgh saying confidently, well, we know he's not going to, so we can give up a sixth. That's more or less the net value in any of the backup trades for a quarterback that's making the lower end, financially, the lower end of the backup market. I just went the long way around, Steve, to tell you that they traded for a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
That's all this is. We started this offseason saying one of the things the Steelers are going to need to do, because, heaven forbid, they're not going to keep Mitch Trubisky on the roster, is backup quarterback. Is that going to be Mason Rudolph? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they would want Mason Rudolph. He ends up signing somewhere else. And he's making about the same amount of money that Justin Fields is. So everything that we have points to Fields being a backup quarterback. And I haven't even mentioned the fact that after the draft, they have to decline his fifth-year option, because there's absolutely no way they're picking that up. That's the easiest decision they'll ever make. And we've said that about a few of them. Devin Bush, for example. It's easier than not picking up Devin Bush's option.
Right.
Nothing about Justin Fields with the Steelers is a starter unless starter who came in to you know, create this whirlwind gets hurt. And, you know, nobody's rooting for that to happen. But Kenny Pickett was so upset about it not being a competition in his mind that he, you know, we're assuming this is what happened. It seems like we have reasonable enough evidence to think that it did. He requested a trade to not compete with Russell Wilson. They didn't acquire another quarterback to come in, be upset upset that he's not a starter. In fact, I'd even argue that the trade ended up materializing because the Bears, you know, out of respect for Fields, took in some offers and then said, look, they're all roughly the same for us. These are the ones we'll accept. Do you want any of these? We're going to pick one if you don't, but if you want one over the other, we'll make that happen for you. And he chose the Steelers. So, in actuality, this really just is a backup quarterback. Fields has a lot of potential. He's a great physical prospect, and as you and I both know, a guy like that's going to stick around in the NFL for a long time.
Yep.
Sam Darnold's slated to make $10 million this year. $10 million was a higher-end starting quarterback a decade ago. Doesn't really seem like that much time has gone by, but that's what Darnold is worth. And I'm not saying any of this to downplay Fields, because here's the thing. Any team in the NFL knows the value of a backup quarterback after 2023. It's the Steelers.
Yeah.
The franchise that saw a backup quarterback almost wreck their season, followed by another backup quarterback saving their season. So clearly they're going to value the position, and they needed to bring one in. So in all honesty, you deflate the hype around everything. This is a simple move. It's really not all there's not nearly as much weight in it as people think that there is. If Fields can't get a market as a starter or a fringe starter next year, maybe he signs back with the Steelers on another one-year deal. That's kind of how backup quarterbacks go nowadays. We'll see, though. And who knows? I mean, you know, heaven forbid, I don't want Russell Wilson to be injured, but if he is, you've got a competent, experienced backup quarterback that can do something. Probably not the guy you want over 17 games at this point in his career, but he is on the level of a Mason Rudolph, of a Kenny Pickett, of a Sam Howell, guys that have starting experience, not enough to lock down a starting job long term, but somebody you're not getting rid of anytime soon either. All of them are going to be in the league for a while.
And this is, in my opinion, Neil, what happens, and as you know, I've made the analogy how many times, this is what happens when you're the Atlanta Hawks, where you're just good enough to be a playoff team, but you're not good enough to contend, which means you draft later in each round, and you can't get the home run pick you need, like a Ben Roethlisberger, because you weren't as good and could draft higher.
Yep, and that's sports purgatory. You know, it's a tough spot. There is one way to get out of it. There are lots of ways to get out of it. But you probably have to throw a bunch of darts at the board to do that. I would suggest one of them, interestingly enough, because you brought up the Vikings, is to look to do what they just did, or they're about to do, most likely. Acquiring another first-round pick for future assets in an effort to move up to get the guy that you need. At some point, I feel every team has to do that for the same reasons that you mentioned. Inertia of the NFL swings kind of on its own. And you're not actively going out to games, okay? No one tanks in the NFL. There's way too many people involved that have a lot of money on the line. They're not actively going to make themselves look bad so the owner can draft somebody higher. They're not doing
that.
That's right.
Your job is on the line every time.
Yeah. The film don't lie. That's the first thing every coach and every player will tell you. They know that everything they do is being watched. They're not going to go less than 100%. I know it may not seem like that, but it's probably more, you know, a fan's mentality of what they're watching as opposed to what it actually is. Point being, you can fight that off. When you have a great coach like Mike Tomlin, he can get wins out of a 5-win team. But you do that often enough, and I've said this on this segment a couple times in the last couple years, because it keeps happening. They have a roster that is worse than their final record every year. So because of that, they're drafting later than they probably should be for what they have on board. And for the Steelers, it kind of comes a point. You know, you're either going all in for right now or you're going all in for later. You can't sit in the middle like this all the time. So I think they're starting to feel the heat on that. And I think that's part of what necessitated, what brought about their desire to go get another quarterback. Now, you could also argue the situation with Russell Wilson is such that they're not paying him anything. You know, extremely rare to have a starting quarterback be acquired to start in the league minimum. That doesn't happen. So at the same time, though, if he does work out, they would send him. So they made a move for a long-term starting quarterback. That's their position. That's their mindset. That's one move. You're shaking up things on both sides of the ball. You went and hopefully for their sake found a linebacker that can start more than 1 year and can start 15-plus games in that year at a fairly high price for that position. Not incredibly high, but fairly high. The rumor now is that they're looking into Brandon Ayuk with San Francisco. That's a trade that's probably going to cost you a premium draft pick. Maybe not a first, maybe not even a second, but they'll have to do something to bring a guy like that in. They're going to talk to Mike Williams, the high-level player coming off an injury. There are a lot of things that they're trying to do to really improve their situation at a higher level, I think, than they have in the past. And that's because they know they're stuck in the middle.
What did you think of the acquisition of Jefferson at wide receiver?
If that is something that the Vikings would be okay with, and that's really where you get stopped, just because, not 100% sure the Vikings would come to the point that they really could not do business with Justin Jefferson. Yeah. If they are looking to trade him, if you're Pittsburgh, you have to do that deal, in my opinion. Justin Jefferson, based on the way the game is played today, the production that he has, the ability that he has, the character that he displays, you don't really have a risk paying a guy like that $30 million a year. People freak out at the amount of money as if it's their own. I get that. But high-end players have to be put in a position to produce for a team. And every team is going to have players like that. Whether they're good or bad, they're going to have players like that. Jefferson is, in my opinion, the best all-around receiver in the game. He is among the best playmakers. He is among the best steady targets. A hamstring injury, maybe, he might have held himself out a little bit long just because of the contract situation. I don't know about that. What I know is that the Vikings were a significantly better team when he was on the field. And that the chemistry that Kirk Cousins and Jefferson were developing was really something special. They could have made themselves into a pretty high-level offense. I feel like the Steelers could do something similar with that with Jefferson, on top of the fact that where they're drafting every year, they're not, I understand where Jefferson was drafted, but you're drafting 20, 21, 22. Odds of landing a player like that are extremely small, and Jefferson might be the only one of his generation that you can say that about. So is it going to happen again? That's what you're betting on right now if you need to get that. Mm. Plus, the Steelers, above anybody else, should know this. They just sat through the Deontay Johnson fiasco for the last two seasons. They had to pay him a lot of money because he refused to play until he got a contract. They wrote up his contract in such a way that it was basically make or break. We are either going to trade you after the 2023 season, or we're going to extend you. Whatever route you want to go is really up to you. And I think we saw what route he chose to go. And now he's looking up at football purgatory for probably another couple years. Whatever they pay him, I'm not sure it even matters to him, but he's in irrelevancy now. A guy like Jefferson is a championship-level player. You could put him on an offense that has been retooled significantly, playing a role similarly to what we saw A.J. Brown play in Tennessee. And he did just fine under Arthur Smith for 2 years. It would be a great fit. I think you've got a good deep ball throwing quarterback, and I think you've got a head coach that is realizing we're going to have to move out of purgatory here, and we're going to have to make some moves to do that. In my opinion, I'm generally pretty conservative when it comes to your draft plan, but at some point, you've got to load up and jump up and make a move for somebody.
Two-year deal, Miles Killebrew, your thoughts?
And Killebrew has proved himself to be one of the better special teams players in the game. Yeah. It was kind of funny. When he came in, it was almost like the Steelers were determined to set the special teams player market on their own. Derek Watt, Miles Boykin, these were $3 million-plus players, which at that point was the top of the market. Killebrew came in after that, and along with that, they had things loaded up to be an outstanding special teams unit, and they were pretty good. You know, it's kind of hard to lock down specifically how good a unit is, but their numbers were pretty good. But Killebrew stood out above anybody else that they've had at that dollar amount because he makes plays. You know, he won two games in the last 2 years. His play won games for him. How many special teams guys are you saying that about? He's a captain. He's a leader. He's really good at what he does. And from a special teams perspective, he's the type of guy that you want to build around. So it definitely a smart signing. I think there would have been a market for him elsewhere. He's got good football left in him. Nothing against him. I hope the Steelers are not in a situation where he's pressed into service at the safety position again like they were at the end of last year. Clearly not an ideal situation. He really should be a core special teams guy, and again, he'll be one of the best in the league.
Oh, boy. It's been a crazy cycle, hasn't it? And you're right about the backup quarterback part of it. Because, look, I mean, the Vikings signed, Sam Darnold. And I'm going by U.S. Bank Stadium, and I didn't see a line of people buying tickets when I was there last week.
Darnold's situation is a little bit different. The Vikings need some type of insurance against the quarterback that they don't know who's going to start yet. So you sign Darnold, you pay a premium for Darnold to get him to sign early. Probably a premium against, you probably want him for 2 years. He's only going to sign one. That's going to cost you a little bit more. But they don't have their quarterback yet. They clearly have a plan going, and we'll see that kind of materialize leading up to the draft. But I don't think they intend to have Darnold as their starter.
No.
But you don't want to look for a starting quarterback after the draft, you know. So you got to get what you can out there. And they felt he was the best option. And look around. I don't know how many great options there are. You might argue Justin Fields, but then that would require the Bears to give him to you. And I could see a reason why the Bears wouldn't want to do that. So
especially within the division too.
Sam Howell. I mean, that's draft picks you have to give up.
Yes, especially within the division. I mean, you don't like making a quarterback move within the division.
Right. It's just to give him a starting opportunity in the division is probably not in the Bears' best interest. If the Vikings wanted to give up a first-round pick for him, I'm sure the Bears would have done that. But at the price point we're talking about, that's why trades within the division don't really happen all that often, and certainly not for marquee positions like that. There are instances in which it would, but in this case, I understand the stigma that comes with Sam Darnold. I get his history to this point, but again, nameless gray faces. He's roughly at the top of the backup market. He's a good lead pony, tweener starter type of guy. He's got experience. He's got physical skill. He's healthy. If he fits in with what Kevin O'Connell wants to do, it makes sense. You know, it's the same way that I would say Justin Fields fits in with what the Steelers want to do under Arthur Smith with Russell Wilson as their quarterback. Having a backup who could, at the very least, I mean, Wilson isn't a runner as much as he is a mover within the pocket. Fields is mobile. He's athletic. There are things that he can do that you can plan around spontaneously to give your team an advantage. Darnold has similar skills to Cousins, I think. Within the offense that they had built for Cousins, I think he makes sense. The fact he's getting $10 million, I think, honestly, is more inflation and will give you a premium to sign right now and not weigh in with anybody else because we want to get this locked up while we try to figure out how to get draft picks to move up in the draft to take the rookie who's going to replace you by week three. Darnold's a pro. He knows that that's what happens. That's why he's being paid $10 million.
I do want to apologize to you, my friend, because I should have asked slightly longer questions because I knew you were trying to get drinks in between answers. So I'm sorry about that. That's on me.
No, hey. I got something stuck in my throat right in the middle of it. Of course, that was the short question that you asked. It was a great question. I'm glad you asked that because I think that is the talking point that you could look at right now. Because honestly, Jefferson getting the Vikings getting a draft haul from the Steelers this year and next year would all but assure them the ability to move up and
yes.
get the quarterback that they want and have the ability to find something of a replacement for Jefferson. And then the best part for the Vikings, they're not paying anybody. They've
right.
got a boatload of space in the future and a way to recraft their roster after Kirk Cousins. I think the deal would make sense. I mean, obviously not looking at the comp, but it would make sense on both sides. I think the Steelers desperately need another playmaking receiver. I know that George Pickens is a good one. You have to have weapons like that down the field in Arthur Smith's offense, and you have a quarterback that's his best skill at this point in his career, that deep seam throw. He can
right.
hit that, and Jefferson can run it. He can run deep out, as can Brandon Ayuk, who's going to be cheaper. But it's a move, I think, that would show the Steelers are serious about getting past football purgatory.
Well, never in purgatory here. Sorry, thank you so much. Oh, Neil, you're the best. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong. What a show so far. Boy, I'll tell you, the way this show has gone today with Neil Coulong, Chris Wheeler, Matt Cotrillo. You just kind of feel like the only thing that's left is, can we possibly convince the suit to come on for a minute?
I'm not sure he's around. He was around earlier.
No, I'm saying longer than that would be a disaster. All right, as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, and today's show, final half hour, being brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, and all have great warranties, so important. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee because they go over every vehicle. Terrific service department that backs it up. Routine, critical difficult, critical. They handle it with ease, critical, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So, everybody, of course, has opinions at this time of the year. Well, you know what I've noticed? They have opinions every day of the year, especially in this business. So Dan Levitard, who still exists, by the way, I think they're on Meadowlark Media, I think, took some shots at Zach Edey. And Levitard said, "Look, Edey, you made my life worse. You in Wisconsin made my life worse. All of you, just getting in the way of everybody, just playing basketball by getting in the way. Zach Edey just plants himself like a tree. I haven't seen a body like that since Yao Ming's, and his ankles are bigger than anyone's thighs. And we're distorting the sport. Have you seen Wembanyama? Like, he stands over these 6'10 people who are bigger than anyone you've ever seen and just places the ball over them in the basket." So his partner, Stu Gott, says, "Are you saying Edey is going to be better than, Edey may have been drafted ahead of Jordan in that particular draft, just like Sam Bowie was. So he's saying he's going to be better than Jordan in that era." And Levitard said, "No, he says he's going to be terrible. He can't move. It's so unesthetically pleasing. Zach Edey is a plague. I'm sorry, Purdue, you're a plague." All right? Now, it's all part of the show when you're using words like that. You're a plague. That guy's a plague. The whole thing. And I know it is. I'm not saying their opinions are genuine, because I mean you're trying to compare it to what he's going to, be in the NBA, and I've said a million times. I mean, it's going to be a struggle for him to play in the NBA just because of the way the game is played now. Okay, and does it really matter if he is or not? I mean, it matters to Zach Edey and his family. But what Matt Painter and Purdue are doing is, of course, they can't care about for a second about what somebody thinks about their style of play. He's the best way for them to win. That's all you're trying to do as a coach at this level. You are trying to make your players as good as possible. Right, so it's always the development part is critical. And if you can get some NBA guys, that's great. And you're trying to figure out a way to win. Well, what are you going to do? Just because it's like, just because the aesthetics don't match up with what this guy wants to watch? What, Purdue's supposed to change the lineup? That way he feels better? Nah. But again, everybody has an opinion, and part of that opinion is based on they're primarily NBA guys. They aren't college guys. And in college, there's a variety of ways to win, but I've pointed out many times the addition of Lance Jones at Purdue and the addition of A.J. Storr at Wisconsin changed the athletic ability of their respective teams because they needed to get a player on the roster that was playing a lot that was different than everybody else that they already had. All right, so in the transfer portal in basketball, which opened up yesterday, Broggy Goodmanson, Favor Irie, Kanye Clary for Penn State, all in. These are the other Big Ten players that are going in. Terrace Reed of Michigan went in today, Doug McDaniel yesterday, and George Washington, the third from Michigan, went in yesterday. Maryland had two go in initially, Noah Batchelor, the three-point shooter, and Callum Swanton-Rogers, the 6'11 center. Rutgers has had two go in. Antoine Wolfolk, the backup center, and Antonio Chol, another big man. And the third one, by the way, is their starting point guard, Derek Simpson. He went in. Kajani Wright from USC has gone in, and Corin Johnson from Washington has gone in. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at Washington because they're changing coaches. Mike Hopkins is not coming back. And yes, you have to, when you look at the transfer portal, you have to look at Washington, USC, Oregon, and UCLA. But those are the ones that are in from the Big Ten right now. And it's just the way it is. Okay? It's just the way it is.
It sounds like there's going to be a rush from Indiana at some point, too.
They're wondering if there will be. Somebody said that, I'm not sure if Caleb Banks went in or not. That one I'm not sure about. Because I know that they're not sure about Renew, Mbako, Gunn, Banks. I mean, a lot of people were assuming in Indiana that Khalil Ware is going to go to the draft. I mean, if I were giving advice, I mean, he's got an NBA game. He can face up, mobility, long, can hit an outside shot. I think it looks like Peyton Sparks and Banks from Indiana are going to go into the portal. And then of course Michigan not only has to worry about the current roster because they don't have a coach right now, but for example recruits. I mean, they're allowed to go and get out too, and one of them already has. And you know, this is this is free agency. It's the waiver wire, or whatever you want to refer to it as. Are there any earth-shattering names in there? I mean, are you surprised McDaniel and Reed are leaving Michigan? They don't have a coach right now. It's not earth-shattering. I think the only name on here that surprised me a little bit was when I saw Derek Simpson out at Rutgers. He'd been playing a lot. That's about it. Now, everybody else is in the tournament, for goodness sake. So you're not going to sit there and look at the tournament. And, I mean, nobody's leaving yet. But, I mean, was I surprised at anybody on the Penn State list? Nope.
I think we assumed that in January that Kanye Cleary was going into transfer portal.
Well, that way everybody knew that. Yeah. It just was a formality. But the other two, no, I wasn't surprised at all. Okay. It's interesting because I asked Cale Sanderson and Mike Rhodes each about, do you recruit a transfer different than you recruit a high school sophomore through senior? And they both said there's some similarities, but with the older player who they've already been through it, no. I mean, they have already been through it, yeah, it is a little different. They're pretty much set. They already know what to expect. Terms of being recruited, and you're not going to sit there and go, "Hey, how about, we can give you this, this, and this." They said they're wise to that stuff. So each one said you have to recruit them a little differently. If you're wondering about Kajani Wright from USC, he's a big man. Okay, he's a big man, and but he was a backup at USC. He was not a starter, just so you know. I mean, I'm trying to keep up the speed on the four new schools coming in, and I've been doing that since last summer. I've been looking at these four schools and their teams with the idea of, you know, who's going to be around potentially next season for both football and basketball. I think you have to stay that far ahead in the game as to what it means. You know, you're not intently looking at them, but you're looking at them. Just like you're looking at Big Ten schools that in football you may not be playing in a given year, but you're keeping an eye on them. And in basketball, you have to keep an eye on everybody because you do play everybody. And we are now up to that point of the season where basketball-wise, the portal is wide open. Wide open.
I think I read somewhere that 15,000 kids between all levels were going to the portal in basketball.
Yeah, and that, right. That's, you know, that includes divisions 2 and 3. That includes divisions 2 and 3. You know, and they're not getting it. That level, they're not getting anything. So, but in Division One, it's over a couple thousand. It's over a couple thousand in Division One, and that is extensive. Now, football goes back to work. It's practice number 4 today. That's taking place later today, and then practice 5 will be Thursday, and then 6 will be Saturday. And I think the media gets in for a little while today. Look, I mean, as time goes, we'll get into who some of the standouts are. I've only been to one practice, because I was in Minneapolis for the other two, so I saw Saturday's practice. So I'm starting to get a pretty good read on especially the new guys. You're looking at the new guys. And then you look at the veterans and say, okay, who looks better? Who seems to be better? Who's more consistent? But then the new guys, you're looking at A.J. Harris. You're looking at Kimber. You're looking at Julian Fleming. You're looking at some of the freshmen like Quentin Martin, you know, what they can and can't do to this point. Or a Luke Reynolds, people like that, just to see. You're looking at the young offensive linemen. Is Javon Williams better? Is Anthony Donko better? What does Nolan Rucci look like up close? How does Nick Dawkins look to this point? What about Cooper Cousins? I mean, so you're looking at all these people, The one gauge I didn't really get a good look at, and it's my fault, and I'll freely admit I know why I didn't. It was the place kickers. And that's because at that time I was talking with Saquon Barkley. So I wasn't really. Okay. I do admit I missed that part because I was talking to Saquon. And it's not his fault because I walked over to him. Okay. All right. I'll get a better look at that as time goes. God, the first thing he brought up, though, was like, is that suit guy around? I said, no. He says, he seemed to relax after that.
Everybody knows him.
Yes. Yes, they do. And so do their attorneys. All right. and their security people. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right. For the first time in a year, I will watch True TV tonight. The last time I watched it, I don't remember if I was in Des Moines or I was in in-state college after the opening weekend or not. But I haven't watched since. Wagner and Howard tonight, True TV at 6:40. Believe it or not, that is a West regional game. Then the nightcap, which should be a pretty good one, Colorado State and Virginia. First team to 50. Yeah.
Defense will be the name of the game.
The deal, by the way, between the college football playoff and ESPN is going to be 6 years, $7.8 billion. And they are the only media rights holder through the 31-32 season.
Okay.
I did see while we were on break that they do have the right to farm out the games, too.
Yeah, right, exactly, which when it gets to 14, I expect.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of inventory to carry in a short period of time. So the $1.3 billion per year begins in 26-27. Exclusive rights to all rounds of the expanded playoff. Exclusive rights to sell all programming connected to the college football playoff, such as the selection show and the weekly top 25 ranking show. And the New Year's Six games remain a part of it. The key is going to be moving forward, turning those all into at-large situations, which will be an important part of this, making them all at large with no connection to, as quarterfinals, semifinal, obviously, it's catch as catch can, but as quarterfinals, and do you have to keep, or you just start selecting and placing people? The schools that get screwed are Oregon State and Washington State. They actually get the lowest number of anybody. There's not a participation bonus. Group of five will get $1.8 million up $300,000. Big 12 will get $12 million each. Notre Dame gets $12 million each. ACC schools get $13 million each. And then there's the Big Ten and the SEC. They'll each make about $22 million. Up from $5.5 million, which we discussed last week. As you mentioned, Todd, the college football playoff granted ESPN the right to sublicense a select number of games in both the amended 2-year agreement and in the 6-year agreement. And ESPN says as of right now, they haven't even made a decision. They said the key is that right now they have the deal. They'll make the decision on that later.
I imagine they keep them at least for these first 2 years.
I think they can work it out the first 2 years because it's one Friday night game and then a triple header on Saturday. And then I think they've selected New Year's Eve for the single night and a triple header on New Year's Day. So they don't have any problems.